This morning, as Amy mentioned earlier, we finish up our message series on Jubilee with the concept, the idea of celebration. You've come on a good day. And not just with having a celebration, although we will do that as we close, but with a closer look at celebration in the life of God's people. Let's take a look back for a moment at where we've been. This Jubilee series was inspired by the Greater Southwest District of the United Methodist Church, who called for a Jubilee from our district ministry shares for 2020. If you haven't learned, that's the call of the Jubilee. And these ministry shares are essentially a $2,000 assessment that is used to pay for district programming. And they had some surplus, so they asked their churches not to pay it this year. But that call came with an invitation to use those monies for some kind of new ministry and mission in the churches. What a great challenge and an opportunity to have. So Chad and I were both challenged and inspired to explore this biblical concept of Jubilee more deeply and to figure out how it fits into our contemporary lives and the life of our congregation. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for inspiration that comes in many forms. We thank you for this concept of Jubilee that we've come to understand in new ways. We thank you for the gifts of community and song and worship and praise and offering that we find on this day. May the meditations of my heart, may your living word, may our time together be pleasing to you on this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When we first looked at this biblical concept of Jubilee in the first week of January, we took a look at various definitions of the word. And many of the contemporary definitions of Jubilee relate to a special anniversary or celebration, the Queen's Jubilee of her reign. And we'll circle back there in a little while. But we found the biblical definition of Jubilee in the 25th chapter of the Old Testament book of Leviticus, not a place we usually spend a lot of time. But this book is a very detailed set of instructions about many aspects of life. It's sort of God's How to Be My People manual, given to the Israelites by God through Moses, who had been delivered from slavery to Egypt, wandering the desert, kind of hanging around at the foot of Mount Sinai, figuring out what it means to be the chosen people. And in this particular chapter of Leviticus, God details a rest for the land every 7 years, a different kind of Sabbath year, and then a new form of liberty and redemption to be found after seven sets of 7 years in the 50th year to be the year of Jubilee. And that part of the scripture reads like this. Then on the Day of Atonement in the 50th year, blow the ram's horn loud and long throughout the land. We're going to kind of miss that, I think. Set this year apart as holy, a time to proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. It will be a Jubilee year for you, when each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors and return to your own clan. The 50th year will be a Jubilee for you. And in this Jubilee year would come relief from debt or from slavery, and a release of people from debt or slavery, and a reclamation of property that had been lost or sold out of the family. Liberty, redemption, freedom are the synonyms that are used scripturally. And what we found as we looked more closely is that this is an amazing concept, but it was likely never practiced as written. But instead, we kind of followed the story in the Bible. and found this link from the Jubilee, or the year of the Lord's favor, to the prophet Isaiah, and then to Jesus, who in the early part of his ministry in Luke 4 stakes his claim as the fulfillment of the year of the Lord's favor and the Jubilee itself. Over the last 2 weeks, Chad has talked about the redemption from sin, shame, and guilt that can be found in Christ, and of the Sabbath rest to be found in sharing life with Jesus. That in taking his yoke, we're invited to walk side by side with Christ and have him pull the weight of all that we carry or drag along with us. And this is the good news of liberation and freedom that life with Christ offers, isn't it? And we often talk about that good news in terms of what we are to do with it. To love others as Christ loves us, to share it and witness to the world, to do good works, to pray in the name of Jesus. And Chad has reminded us, and Linda reminded us this morning, that we can claim it for our own lives as free and redeemed children of God, and to let go of some of those burdens that we carry. But folks, one of the other things we can do is celebrate it. This is good news to celebrate. We are designed for God's purposes, and celebration is one of those purposes. Our opening scripture, which I didn't read from Psalm 150, would you find that for me real quick, Jen? Is one of many where the psalm writer is praising, celebrating, dancing, and singing. And the contemporary words, synonyms for the word jubilee, include shindig, celebration, festivity, observance, triumph, gala, party, spree, bash, feast, and holiday. And Psalm 150 reads this way: praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty works, praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the amount of celebration in that psalm and in other psalms is just wonderful. You can hear that festivity, observance, triumph in that psalm. If we back up a bit in the book of Leviticus in chapter 23, we find many instructions for festivals. One of those, festivity, was one of our synonyms. The Sabbath year, the Passover festival, the festival of first fruits, of weeks, of trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the festival of tabernacles. So as God is building this how to be my people format for the Israelites, festivals and celebration are part of that format. And celebration, dance, and music are found throughout the Bible. There are 252 mentions of the word joy, 28 of joyful, 68 of the word celebrate in our holy book. And one of my favorite passages of scripture is found in Ecclesiastes 3. This is just a portion. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And at the end of the chapter is verse 13. One should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. God has designed us for celebration with God. And in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, the father welcomes his lost son home, and he throws a party. It reads, "And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. We sometimes begin worship with these words from Psalm 118. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And in the Old and New Testaments, we are reminded again and again that God's desire is for us to have the joy that comes from relationship with God. Life may not, and honestly just will not, always be smooth. There will be heartbreak and struggle, pain and loss. Life is full of seasons, and some of them are really hard. But in John 15:11, Jesus says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full." So that concept of living with Jesus' joy and being full of that joy has kind of resonated in my brain all week. And this has been a week of small celebrations for me. My youngest daughter turned 30 on Friday, and because I just turned 60, that means I was 30 when I had her, which just occurred to me. And so there's just kind of a moment of reflection, and this is a young adult with some mental health struggles who really had some challenges along the way and has a risk tolerance far above her mother's, and I am delighted that she made it to 30, and I think she's delighted as well. On the other hand, this is a kid that does not like hugs, birthdays, or celebrations, so we're going to go this afternoon and quietly without hugs or singing happy birthday. Celebrate her. Just celebrate her presence in my life. That's what birthdays remind me of. I am so glad this person is in my life, or I can remember them sometimes. So we'll celebrate a birthday, and I've been doing that through the week. It's also a week where Monday at 2 a.m., I arrived home from being a part of the Guatemalan mission trip. That was truly an amazing week, and we all returned home safely. As Pastor Dave said, the same 13 got back home that went, so that was good. And Guatemala is a country of extreme beauty. It's really verdant and lush and full of color. Things were in bloom. It's about 10 degrees further south in like Key West, so it was kind of their late winter, early spring, and people wear bright colors, and there's just this vibrant life everywhere in the midst of a country with some pretty subsistence-level living and poverty. And so I returned home grateful for the experience, grateful to be back in my home and with Mark and in work and surrounded by my familiar life. And I think that is part of the gift of a mission trip. When you take it, you get to both experience life elsewhere and appreciate your life more deeply. And in that week, so we had a team of 13, and we happened to be down there concurrently with another team of about 20 from New Hampshire, a little bigger, a little younger. And that's a lot of people to keep moving at Saluda Paz. So there's a compound up in the low mountains where there's both a dental clinic, medical clinic, and a three-year kind of preschool, early childhood education. And they have broken ground and built earthquake-proof footings for a new two-story medical clinic. And next week in worship, you'll get to see some pictures of all of this. And we had some work to do in the school to get the kids ready for the year. Their school year is on a calendar year, so they had just started. And part of both of those teams spent the week working on a home site for a family of seven who had three children in the school and were living in what was essentially a bamboo and rusted corrugated lean-to on the side of a hill, with no electricity or water. And so in the space of a week, under some direction and help from some Guatemalan builders, these teams built about a 500 square foot home on a concrete slab with solid walls and a roof with electricity installed and working before we were done, and it just seemed a miracle. And the home site was like that. There's a lot of stepped things in Guatemala. There's a lot of terrain. It's a volcanic country, and so everything had to be hauled from the road in wheelbarrows or buckets down to this home site. And people worked so hard, and it was just a miracle to see this home done. And so on Friday, all the teams were able to go and celebrate with this family and bless the home and give them some gifts. And unbeknownst to us, the Guatemalan builders that were there had rained balloons around the entire structure and did what they do in Guatemala when they have something to celebrate, found a string of firecrackers the length of this aisleway. So at the point where it was celebration, it was just 3 minutes of solid firecrackers. But it was a wonderful celebration made possible not just by the work of the hands of those who went, but by the giving of this church to that mission project, and just a beautiful meeting of their culture and our culture and the work of all of us together. So that was something to celebrate. Thank you, Toby. I don't know if we're going to get the shofar sound away from Toby. He's learned to use it well. God likes a party. Not a kegger or a rager or a fat Tuesday Mardi Gras kind of party. I don't think those are God's kinds of parties. But how many of you have been present in gatherings with people, maybe friends and family, maybe even strangers on a hillside in Guatemala, where laughter and kindness and well-being and joy are present? Maybe with food and drink and music and dancing, but maybe just with people and story and conversation. And I've found it to be true that those kinds of gatherings can feel as much holy ground to me as places, the place where I feel God's presence most fully, as the quietest and most reflective of spaces. Because God loves for us to delight in life, to celebrate our existence. I frequently begin my prayers, both private and those in community, with a version of thank you for the gift of this day. Because this day, this moment, really, and all those that have come before, are all that we have for certain. The next moment, the next day, are not yet in our pocket, and they're not guaranteed. And we see that again and again in life around us. Life is precarious, and that can make us anxious and protected and fearful, or it can help us to live with as much joy and freedom as possible. Celebrate the big things. Celebrate the small things. Made it to Friday? Yay! My husband celebrates every day that ends with a Y, so he's got it covered. Good checkup at the doctor, you know, huzzah! Figure out what your celebration is. I found this somewhere. Give yourself a hand. If it's National Ice Cream Day, that seems like a no-brainer. Celebrate that one. Someone said it's Michigan's 185th birthday, I think. 80th? 83rd. Michigan's 183rd birthday today, so celebrate the mitten. Celebrate the taste of that first cup of coffee, the smell of a flower, the sound of birds, the sight of your home, the touch of a friend's hand. Life is full of celebration. Be a part of it. And so we're going to do that today. This isn't a message I could go millions of layers deep. The message really is celebrate life. So Chad is going to bring the mic around, and I invite you just to share something that you would celebrate on this day, a big thing, a small thing, and we'll just offer it as a gift to the congregation. So what do you celebrate on this day?
Yesterday we had a cousin's lunch after my Aunt Lois died at her funeral. You know, it's a gathering of relatives and stuff, and all of our cousins that we saw almost every week growing up and really were close together, we've all gone our separate ways a lot. And so we've decided that once a month we're going to get together for lunch. And it was a wonderful celebration. We're going to do it every month.
Well, I was just thinking, all of us now can enjoy a parking lot that is so well done. And Mr. Hoffman, Brian by name, took great care in making sure that it was done well. I celebrate that.
I lost a dear friend this week, and also I had to put my companion cat down after 17 years of great love, and he was very special to us. I just thank the good Lord that I'm not mourning more than I could be, that I feel that my friend is in heaven. He was deaf and was not a person that had learned sign language, but he had found a church that specialized in having a very large deaf community, and they were there to sing songs and praise the Lord for Fred's being a part of that group. And I thank the Lord that I think that if a pet is loved like my cat was, that there is a place for them in some kind of a pet heaven. And I feel very, very grateful for that. Thank you, dear Lord, for that friend and that cat and your love.
Amen.
Sherry and I have made it to the Jubilee year of our marriage this year. So we're going to celebrate with our family. Instead of taking a trip for us, we're going to take our whole family and go off to an island for a week next month.
Bradley. Chad Bradley's got some.
Oh, it's okay. So, no one says, boo, boo. Right.
We are glad to have Bradley.
I just got released from the wound clinic. And I'm healed now, and they told me I don't have to come back.
Woo!
I like to celebrate family and friends.
Amen.
All celebration worthy. All the way to the end.
We would like to celebrate the engagement of our youngest daughter, Amy, who will be married this summer. Also, Julie said we should celebrate that we made it to church today.
I'm celebrating that my daughter is up from Florida and we get to spend her birthday together. Amen.
Well, thank you for offering those bits of celebration. And so one of your assignments, you know, not everybody loves to talk into a microphone in church, but just before you leave today, on the way home, think of what you have to celebrate in this week and just give thanks to God for those. We're going to conclude talking about celebrations of a different kind, because being a part of a congregation this size, being a pastor of a congregation this size, guarantees that you'll be involved and present in several, if not, I think Chad said we've had 19 in the last year, funerals or memorials. And being a 60-year-old person is starting to guarantee some of the same. My sister and I lost an aunt right before I left for Guatemala. Family members and friends and myself are aging. It's a part of life. And there is always sadness. There's a person who is gone from our presence who we will miss. Gary Beard died early Saturday, and his friend, his family were in church this morning, and that loss is still raw and hard and wounding. But those losses are reminders to us, too, that this is our life. We need to live it and treasure it every day and treasure the people that we love. But it's always lovely when, along with the sorrow in the morning, as that rawness wears off a bit and changes, comes a true celebration of life. And I'm sure that's what we will have for Gary Beard here on Thursday. Celebration of a good, long life filled with love, family, work, church, faith, friends, interests, and laughter. And in any long life, there's also been trouble and sorrow, tragedy and heartbreak, but the celebration is for all that life was. Life is all of those things, and for all of the people who loved them and for the life to come. And there is a huge difference, my friends, between a memorial or a funeral service for someone who knew Jesus, who had faith in God, and knew there was a life to come after this mortal one, and for someone who did not know or believe that. So among the things we have to celebrate on this day is hope. Hope for a better day. Hope and promise of an eternal life with God. In 1 Peter 1, it says this, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul." We celebrate because we are free, redeemed by Christ's perfect offering, part of God's family, loved for who we are, wherever we are. And as we close our worship service today, we're going to sing, and praise band will pray an 80s praise anthem, "Celebrate Jesus." Oh, it's going to be a video. Okay, that worked well the first time. And the words will be on the screen. The beat will be upbeat, kind of like that first song we did this morning, which was great. So rise in spirit, rise in body, sing and dance and move like you have something to celebrate. Because people of God, we surely do. The year of the Lord's favor, the Jubilee, came in the divine personhood of Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. The offering has been made. A new start is available in any moment, and there is always something to celebrate. Pray with me, please. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this day, for the gift of this time together, for the way that you have designed us to celebrate life with you. May we find those small celebrations and medium and big and spontaneous and planned ways to celebrate with you in this gift of life that we've been given. May we remember those who pass on and mourn their loss, but celebrate their arrival into your presence, into life everlasting, and understand that that promise is ours as well. We give you all this in the name of the risen Christ. Amen.